So I will tell you this morning that I'm not a preacher, but I believe I have a word for you this morning. I'm not a regular preacher, all you know, on stage all the time, but you know, Pastor Walt asked me a couple of weeks ago to consider speaking on Father's Day, and I said, "Do what?" And I said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna. This was on a Sunday, I believe it was. So I said, "Give me a day." I had to process that a little bit. And so the next day, that night, evening, I talked to my wife and thought we were going to be out of town this weekend, but God arranged it where I'm here. So the next day, I texted Pastor Walt real quick, "I will do it," before I backed out. So I had to do that. But truly, I'm humbled and honored to be on this stage, you know, sharing with Pastor Walt and Pastor David, Pastor Daniel. These guys, I really honor them because they do this. They know how to do it. I'm just kind of going with it a little bit. I'm truly humbled and honored to be here this morning. I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone, so y'all bear with me. But I'm going to do something, and I am not Joel Osteen. I'm going to tell you that. But I'm going to start with something funny. That's what he does. I'm doing that for me, honestly, not for you. So a little boy named Billy heads to the dinner table one day for dinner, and he blurts out to his dad, he said, "Dad, are bugs good to eat?" So Billy's dad kind of says, "Well, son, we're not going to talk about bugs as we are approaching the dinner table." So they ate dinner, and after dinner, father asked Billy, he said, "Billy, why did you ask me about bugs?" So Billy turns to dad and he says, "Don't worry about it, Dad. It's all good." Says, "There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now." Anybody can relate to not listening to your little child as they're trying to impart something to you. And another one. I've got to do this. Sorry. So Dad, on Father's Day, a little boy decides he's going to cook Dad breakfast in bed. Toast and eggs and coffee, things of that nature. So he brings it to his dad, and he just said, "Dad," hands him the cup of coffee. He said, "Dad, try my coffee." So dad, he takes a drink of coffee, and he said he nearly passes out. It's so strong. See, nearly passes out right there in the kitchen. And "How'd you like it, Dad?" So the dad said, "Son, that was really good." Said, "Well, Dad, try some more." So dad drinks some more coffee and again nearly passes out. And the son says, "Dad, did you really like my coffee?" So dad, not wanting to disappoint the son, he says, "I love your coffee. It was great. It was wonderful." So dad takes some more drinks, and all of a sudden he notices at the bottom of his cup there were some army men in his cup. So dad looks at the little boy, says, "Son, why is there army men in my cup of coffee?" And the little boy looks at dad and says, "Dad, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." There you go. Yeah, God's good, isn't he? Who can relate to the child? Who can relate? We've all got those stories. You know, back growing up when I was a little kid, I grew up around Abilene and played Little League Baseball. And, you know, Little League Baseball, you know, you went through the season. You typically had a couple of games a week, and you got towards the end of the season. And the coaches all got together, and they named an all-star team, okay? So the all-star team was one that if you were selected, it was one that the coaches, they noticed something about you, that you were exemplary, that you performed, that you did great exploits, things of that nature. So you were selected to the all-star team, and then you got to go on and play some more games with your fellow all-stars to hopefully to win a baseball championship. Well, growing up, I played baseball and got to the end of the season. I was selected to be on the All-Star team, and I was so honored to get to do that. So the All-Star team, again, they noticed something different about you. You stood out in the crowd. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning briefly. We're going to just have a good time. We're going to talk about being an all-star dad. Amen. Anybody want to be an all-star dad? Anybody? Oh, nobody wants to be an all-star dad. Anybody want to be an all-star dad? And we're going to talk about the life of Noah. And you say, Noah, are you kidding me? We're not going to talk about, really, Noah? Being an all-star dad? Well, there's some points of truth as it relates to what Noah did at the time of his life. You know, trying to be an all-star dad, we all can relate. We probably have not arrived. We probably can still work on some things. We probably can do some things a little bit better as it relates to our family or being an all-star type of dad. But we all are growing in this. I would love to stand here before you today to tell you that I've got it all figured out. But I'm here to tell you I do not have it all figured out. But you know, together we can learn to grow in these things and learn to be more of an all-star type of dad, one that catches God's attention. One that catches God's attention. So the life of Noah, in Genesis chapter 5, we go through the genealogy of Noah. It goes down and talks about all these men of God. And we go through and it says that Enoch was in the genealogy of Noah. And how many of you know anything about Enoch at all? Enoch was one that walked with God and he was no more. God took him to heaven. Enoch walked with God. Well, then you follow it on down, there was Methuselah, I believe it was, and Lamech, I think it was, and then there's Noah. So Enoch was the great-great-grandfather of Noah. So we're going to go in then into Genesis chapter 6, where it says that in the first few verses there, it says that God noticed that the earth was corrupt. God noticed that things were bad. God noticed that there were evil in the hearts and the lives of men and women at that time here on earth. So God was sorry, basically. Sorry he made man. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, if you will. And we're going to read from the Amplified Version because I love what it says here this morning. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness or the depravity of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent or the thoughts of the heart were on evil continually." Next verse. "And the Lord regretted that he made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy or annihilate mankind whom I've created from the surface of the earth. Not only man," and some of the versions says, "but the animals, the crawlers, the creepers, the birds of the air, because it deeply grieves me to see mankind sin, and I regret that I have made them." So you see, God sets us up here in Genesis chapter 6. Man was created. There was sin, corruption, evil, every sort of thing going on in the earth, bad stuff going on. Everywhere you turn, there was evil. Evil, evil, evil. But it says in the next verse, it says, "But Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord." So why did Noah find favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord? So we're going to talk this morning about three or four points of being an all-star type of dad. What will set you out in the crowd? Amen? We're going to set you out in the crowd. So Noah says, it says here that in that scripture says, Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. So think about the all-star. They stood out in the crowd. They did something different. They were exemplary. And it says in the next scripture, it says in verse 9, point number one to being an all-star type of dad, live a righteous life. So it says here in that scripture, it says that Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and had right standing with God, blameless in his evil generation. We're going to stop there. Noah was a just, a righteous man, blameless in his evil generation. So we know later on, Noah messed up, okay? But it says here that Noah caught God's eye. Noah did something different, that he stood out in the crowd. And basically, I took it as this: we're to live a righteous life, we're to live a blameless life within the power of God in our lives. But Noah set a standard. So he set a standard in that generation. And the standard was that everything based on what Noah was doing, everything else was evil. Everything was bad. So Noah stood out in the crowd. So I want to challenge, first point this morning, to you fathers, to your dads, to you want-to-be dads, stand out in the crowd. Do something different. For God wants to do great and mighty exploits through you, as Noah did, as God did through Noah. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's very interesting. That's the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Noah was named here. And we see Noah in two or three chapters of the Bible, and that's it. But it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 7, it was by faith, with confidence in God and his word, that Noah, being warned about God, or by God, about events to come, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his family. By this act of obedience, he condemned the rest of the world. His obedience condemned the rest of the world, and became an heir of righteousness which comes by faith. So point number one this morning, live a righteous life. Stand out in the crowd. Set the standard where you are. Set the standard in the workplace. Set the standard in your home. Set the standard in society. Set the standard in your church. Live the righteous and blameless life. Set yourself apart. This is not in the notes or on the scriptures, but Philippians 2 says that you should be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted or perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So God wants you to stand out. God wants you to live the standard. He wants you to live the righteous life. He wants you to be blameless in the generation. He wants you to do things by which other people are judged. We don't go into condemnation, but judged. You set the standard where you are. You know, sometimes even in your home, in your family, you have to set the standard. Sometimes when you are in Walmart and somebody makes you mad or cuts you off or does something, you have to set the standard. You have to set the standard. You have to be different. You have to set yourself out amongst the crowd. So I challenge you dads today, set a priority of righteousness in your life by which your family and children can live. You know, some cliches, you've got to go for it. You've got to reach for the stars. You've got to do the right thing. You've got to do good, make a difference. You have to live your life with integrity and character. So number one, live the righteous life. Number two, and this one is so powerful, says Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. Habitual fellowship with God. Doesn't mean he did it every once in a while. He spent time. And remember, Enoch, his great-great-grandfather, it says that he walked with God. It also says of Noah, Noah walked with God. So Noah spent time learning and knowing God, fellowshipping, worshiping. So point number two, You need to live a prayerful life. You see, we have to live a prayerful life, a time of fellowship. You know, prayer is just talking to God. That's all it is. It's not that you have to come with this agenda or come with this form or fashion. You come into His presence and you talk to Him and say, Papa God, I need some help. Or Papa God, I love you. Or Papa God, I need your wisdom in this area. And He just wants to love you. Pastor David talked about it a couple of weeks ago. God, you are created to be loved by God. So come into His presence and have a prayerful life. Have a life whereby you just spend time getting to know and to fellowship with God each and every day, habitually. In Psalm 63, and I think it's on the screen, it says, O God, you are my God. With deepest longing, I will seek you. My soul, my life, my very self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and sighs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have gazed upon you in the sanctuary to see your power in your glory. So God just wants to spend time with you. That's all He wants to do. God wants for you to come into His presence and just spend time loving on Him, letting Him love on you, letting Him do some things in your life, letting Him impart wisdom into your life, live a prayerful life. Think about these men of God in the Bible. Abraham, as an example, he built altars and he called upon the name of the Lord. Moses, leading the children of Israel, leading society as it was, he constantly was on his knees praying for direction. Think about King David. You see, all through the Psalms, he longed for God. He worshiped God. He asked God for forgiveness. All through the Psalms, he talks about coming into your sanctuary and worshiping you and just honoring you. Think about Jesus, our Savior. He prayed for strength and for God's will to be done. He prayed for strength and God's will to be done. So think about this. Victory is typically not achieved at the time that you need it. Victory is achieved when you spent time preparing on your knees in prayer. Amen? So God wants you to spend time with Him, to let Him impart some things to your life. So Dad, number two, live a prayerful life. Set aside time regularly, spending time in the throne room of heaven with God, worshiping, praying, thanking, asking for wisdom, things of this nature. So number three, it says in Genesis in 6:22, it also says it in 7:5, 7:9, and 7:16, it says, and Noah obeyed that which God commanded. And I know it's real simple, but God wants you to live an obedient life. A righteous life, a prayerful life. God wants you to live an obedient life. See, Noah, having spent time with God, and God noticing he was different, he was setting a standard, he was doing some things that were over and above, God was able to trust Noah. See, time equals trust. Trust equals time. You have to spend time in His presence and be obedient to what He wants you to do. So think about when Noah was getting ready to build the ark. Think about that for a minute. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, Noah's gathering all this wood and all these supplies, and he starts building this little boat, so to speak. He starts building this huge ark. And can you imagine the ridicule for a moment? Imagine what he was going through. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. You're building a boat? A what? A boat? What are you going to do with a boat? I'm going to save my family from drowning. Drowning? Drowning from what? Rain. Rain? What's rain? We've never seen rain before. So you imagine the ridicule, but had Noah not spent time in the presence of God and becoming obedient to God to build the boat, to save the world, to save his family, can you imagine? So we need to spend time with God and just be obedient to what he says to do. Be obedient at all times, even in the midst of ridicule, of people laughing at you, people doing things that, why is he doing that? You've got to be obedient to what God says to do. And dads, let me challenge you this morning. Don't be afraid to set that standard, to be obedient, and do not compromise. Do not compromise. You have to be obedient what God says to do through his word, through the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a funny story. When Pastor Walt asked me to speak today, so several years ago, most everyone here knows Prophet Ed Trout that comes to our church regularly. And several times, and I won't go into the specifics of what Ed prophesied over my life, but he said some things. And all I could hear when Pastor Walt asked me is Ed Trout in the back of my ear speaking these things. And I was like, would you be quiet? And, you know, just keep speaking those things about things that were going to happen, things that I'm supposed to do. And he kept speaking to me. But part of it is just then being obedient to what the word says, being obedient to what the prophetic word says, being obedient to what the Holy Spirit says at times. You have to be obedient and you have to listen. So Psalm 128, verse 1 says this. It says, blessed or happy and sheltered by God's favor is everyone who fears the Lord and worships him with obedience, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. And James 1:25 says this, but he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides in it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. And here's the key. He will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. So sometimes you have to just step out in obedience and trust the word, trust what God says, obey even in the midst of ridicule. So dads, let me challenge you this morning. Live the righteous life, live the prayerful life, live a life of obedience. God wants you to obey. He's not a hard taskmaster, but he wants fellowship. And out of that natural fellowship and loving with God, loving on God, obey. That's all he wants. He wants obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the scripture says. Amen? All right. So now, we've gone through righteousness. We've gone through live a prayerful life. We've gone through living an obedient life. So now that, think about this. When Noah, he went through the flood, and flood covered the earth. Everyone was wiped out except he and his family. They were in the ark, and we're going along, and then of course the rain stopped, and the ark eventually comes to rest. And for several days, you know, he sends out the bird and the dove, and then finally the dove goes out. And then over time, God tells Noah it's time to exit the ark. One of the first things it says that Noah did at that time, and this is point number 4. After you realize that what God wants you to do, and you've been righteous, you've lived a life of prayer, you lived a life of obedience, God wants you to live a life of thanksgiving. Thank God for what he's brought you through. When you're in the battle, when you're in the storm, when things are going on around your life, and you remember what God did before, remember what God will do now. Amen? So, and it says that Noah built an altar unto the Lord. He worshiped God. He thanked God for what he did. He thanked God for deliverance. He thanked God for what he's done in his life. So we can learn from that in 1 Thessalonians 5. That's a mouthful for me. It says, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Next. Anyway, I'll get it. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, being in business, one of the things that I notice from people, and it catches my eye, and I think you all will agree, you notice someone who says thankful, who says thank you, who's grateful, who's thankful. When you're in business, a customer or something, all of a sudden they're thankful, and there's something different about that. And that catches God's eye. God wants us to be thankful, grateful at all times and in all things, in spite of the storm. You know that we go through storms of life. We go through things. We go through, you know, stuff, if you will. But God wants you not to necessarily be thankful for those things, but he wants you to be thankful in those things. Be thankful for what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do at all times. So being in business, again, you notice those things. And God notices gratefulness. He notices thanksgiving. One of the things that I every morning nearly, I always get up first thing before my feet hit the bed, hit the floor, I say, thank you, Father, for another day. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you that they're new every morning. Thank you, Father, that you've called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Father, that you're good, that your mercies endure forever. Thank you, God, that you have a way in the wilderness, that you can take us to the other side. See, nothing surprises God. Nothing surprises God. He's not worried. You know, the things we worry about in life, he's not worried. He's not even concerned, because God is a big God. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees all these things, and he's not worried about what you're in currently. He's not worried about it. He already knew it was going to happen. So we have to trust God in the process. We have to live a thankful life. Live a life of thanksgiving. Live a life of thank you, God, for your goodness. And really, that's really what it boils down to. Thank you, God, for your goodness at all times. So Noah, being the righteous man, having a life of prayer and worship and, you know, just spending habitual fellowship with God, Noah being obedient, God saw them through to the other side. God saved his family. And so you think about this, that is really a type and shadow of our Savior, of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So God wants us at all times to walk in all these things that he's planned for us. God's not worried about you. God's not concerned about you. We have to set that standard. We have to do what's right in the eyes of God. So remember, Noah, Enoch, they walked with God. What will God say about you? What will God say about you, dads and fathers, in your life as it comes to raising your family? What will God say about you? What will God say, Robert, will God say about you that you walked with God? Nate, will God say about you that you walked with God, that you spent time with him? What will God say about you that you've done those things, you've lived that obedient life? God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, God has all these good things for us. You know, I remember just briefly about fathers in the faith. You know, my earthly father's gone on to his heavenly reward. And I love my daddy. You know, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't, he didn't always do the right thing. But he loved his kids. He loved his family. He loved his grandkids. And then I think about spiritual fathers. You know, when Sheree and I first moved here in 1988, the pastor at that time was Pastor John Holler. And so I just really, he's gone on to his heavenly reward, but I honor him. I honor him and I thank him for the things he imparted into our lives. And now think about Pastor Walt, our current pastor, our senior pastor, our bishop of the house, if you will. I think about him and all the things he imparts to us on a weekly basis, even when he's not here. He's imparting through Pastor David and Pastor Daniel. And so I just think about these people. And, you know, I think about his father in the faith, which is Pastor Olin. And I'm really speaking here really about leadership of this church. You know, Pastor Walt and Pastor Olin. And, of course, Pastor David and Pastor Daniel. I'm just so honored that they're great men of the house. With Jim Shook and Tommy Olive and Raymond Mesa and Hector Leos, Allen Brothers. I just honor them. They are fathers in the faith. They are great men of God. They love this church. They pray for this church. They're doing great and mighty things. You may not always see them, but they're here. They're praying. They're doing what's necessary in this house. And so this morning, I just honor them and thank you. Thank them for their service. Thank them for the good things they impart in our lives. So if you would this morning, if you would stand for a minute. You know, there may be some here this morning that, you know, fathers that you say, you know, I've not measured up. Maybe I've not done quite what I should have done. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I wish I could change some things. Well, you can't, but you can change going forward. Every head bowed and eye closed, if you will. So if you're here this morning, and I'm speaking to fathers and dads this morning, you know, I think about this, that any man can father a child, but it truly takes a special man to be a dad. So if you're here this morning, and I'm not here to embarrass anyone, I'm not here to, you know, call anyone out, I'm really not. God wants to do a sovereign thing this morning, a special thing. But if you're here this morning, specifically dads, but women in the house, wives, if you say, God, I've not measured up. I've not done maybe what I should have done. I've not lived that righteous life or that prayer for life or that obedient life. I've not had a life of thanksgiving. If you would, just raise your hand right there where you are. Anybody in the house? I see those hands. Me included. So, Father, for these that have raised their hands, these that look upon their lives and their current situation, and well, they may say, I've not measured up, Father. I've not always done the right things. God is saying to you this morning, son, daughter, whoever you might be, God is saying this morning, leave it at the foot of the cross. Leave it with me because I can take you places that you never dreamed of. God is saying this morning that all you have to do is call upon me and roll your cares over on me. God is saying this morning just to let me have it, but make some changes. I talked a little bit about it last week of a change in perspective, a change in direction. God is saying, change your direction. Just leave it with me and change direction. Change direction. Change from what you're currently doing to something different. And you may be here this morning, anyone saying, God, I need Jesus in my life. I've not always lived right, and I really want to make a change in my life. And this is for anyone and everyone. God is saying, allow me to be your Savior and your Lord. Anyone here this morning that needs to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if you would, raise your hand. Anyone? Amen. See those hands? So if you would, everyone, just pray with me. We're going to pray with these that have raised their hands. And we're going to pray that God would make an impact in their life. So if you would, pray this out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for Jesus who died for me, who bore that death on the cross for me, and he shed his blood. So today, Jesus, I call upon the name of the Lord, and I will be saved, and I'm going to live in right standing with you from here forevermore. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. Amen. So again, happy Father's Day to everyone. And just so honored that you're here today. And remember, just make some changes. Do some things that are different. If you haven't measured up, I tell you what, this word was for me just because I needed to hear some things that I need to do differently. And we all, I think, can learn from these. So, amen.